We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mullay and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. The first voice you heard there is Matt Nagy. He, of course, is the new Bears head coach. And then, of course, the architect, Ryan Pace, talking about how you have you're not putting all your eggs in one quarterback. And so you have the ability to surround him with weapons. And they talked about the weapons and the guys that they've signed and the things that they can do. And they've got all the positions fit. They got the new tight end. They got the new wide receiver. They got the new slot guy. They got all sorts of different weapons and weaponry. And they're still waiting to hear. It was interesting to hear Pace talk about Cameron Meredith yesterday. That subject came up, and he talked about the idea that they understand that he's out and he's going to different places, and they're going to kind of monitor it and look at whatever contract he might get and then make a decision on it. I think it's going to come down to how the Bears view that injury, really. The very fact that, here's the thing. The very fact that they gave him the $1.9 million deal, which allowed him to go out and try to get a better contract that they then could match. They could have put the higher tender offer on him, which would have been for $2.9 million. So they felt that he was closer to a $1.9 million player than a $2.9 million player. If it comes back and he has a contract offer for $5 million a year, how do you then match that?
No, goodbye.
I'm just saying, by your own evaluation,
you can't.
Anything less than 2.9 would say, maybe we'll take that. But anything more than that, haven't you made the declaration that he's not worth more than 2.9? Because otherwise, you would have just given him the higher tag.
Yeah, and that's why
the higher tender, I mean.
And Pace talked about the fuller contract they matched. He said, we knew there would be teams out there, including Green Bay, take him at his word. And we dug into the details of the contract, said it's fair. Okay, let's go match this thing. But my bigger take.
They matched it in like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
What's interesting, I think, about Fuller is they gave him the transition tag. What you can come away from that thinking is, wow, the Bears were clever about that. They wanted the guy back. They gave him the transition tag, therefore making another team give him the money, and then they could match it, and they end up getting him long-term because they gave him the transition tag. They gave a franchise tag to Alshon. No one's going to give up a couple draft picks, so you end up with a guy that doesn't want to be there, and he doesn't have a great year, and then you let him go the next year. By giving this guy the transition tag,
you let him go out there and see what he's worth.
You end up getting him long-term.
Right,
so maybe if they had given Alshon the transition tag, maybe they could have signed him to a long-term contract. That would be one of the conclusions you might make from this. But I think they've painted them in a little bit. They painted themselves in a little bit more of a corner with the wide receiver, because they looked at the knee. They know that he's not ready to go right now. They know it's an ACL plus. He's also got the MCL. It's not a simple ACL. They went out on the free agent market and they signed a guy coming off an ACL to a big money deal because they felt that the only reason they could have gotten him is because of the injury. It was a different deal altogether. And then they looked at they have more information than we do about Cam Meredith and his situation and all the rest of it. And they determined that he's closer to a $2 million player than a $3 million player. If he ends up getting a longer-term contract for more money, would they look foolish if they matched it?
What you're doing.
Right. I mean, would that change the narrative of how you feel about the Kyle Fuller contract? It's going to be interesting. Now, he's gone and visited teams, and they've looked at him, and no one has signed him yet. It's just, when you go to three different teams, you would assume somebody is interested in you and you might get a deal.
And you're not one no matter. I mean, you're a guy, as you said yesterday. God bless Cam Meredith. He's valuable, useful, but he's in the scheme of things, he's not a superstar, even maybe a star. My bigger takeaway yesterday was, how refreshing is it to have a head coach who's not half a crazy man like Trestman, who's trying to be the smartest guy in the room? And
I think he's just a weirdo. I don't think he's trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, different guy. And then you have Fox, who everything you've asked him, if it's raining outside.
It's all fluid. I'll tell you the truth if I ever broadcast.
Nagy, and he scared me a little bit yesterday when I was watching the stuff, and he was only halfway down 1920s football drive talking about how important it is to put on the Bears uniform. And, okay, if you want to talk about the 11 championships before 63, knock yourself out. Last one, been quite a while. So, when he actually talked about how he's going to utilize some of these guys, and here's hoping Trey Burton is Travis Kelce. I mean, we'll wait and see. But talk about personnel packages. I mean, and doing it talking football without
making the Z versus the zebra.
Not condescending and talking about the hot dog laden press box. I mean, just talking as if he respects his audience and they understand what he's talking about. And here's our general philosophy. How refreshing was that? And doesn't mean they're a playoff. He tempered expectations. Yeah. Didn't say it was going to be skyrocketing. We're 16-0, and here we go. But you at least feel like the guy is a bright guy. He's going to be able to communicate. He's going to connect with people. Does it all play out? Who knows? But I mean, I just like hearing a guy who seemingly has his stuff together.
You should enjoy that. You should enjoy the different that you heard from him. And I think that this is the honeymoon period. This is the honeymoon year that you allow him to go out, implement what he wants to do offensively. If they're ahead of the game, that's great. But I think you'll know it if you see it. You'll know that it's different. You'll know that that they are improving. I don't expect them to be vying for a playoff spot. I don't expect them to be a great upset candidate in the NFC North. I think, it's funny, you sit here and you I'm looking over some of the baseball futures and some of the stuff yesterday, and I'm thinking, is Cleveland, are they ripe for, some problems here? And then I thought, look at the division, right?
Yeah.
If the Twins don't catch them, no one will. And I think that's one of the problems you have with the Bears. It's the other way around. Look at the division. How are they going to overtake these teams?
There'd be a lot of injuries.
It would take
a lot of key injuries
for them. I mean, the curve would have to be pretty sudden and dramatic for them to be able to go from a four-time last place team to the top of the pile, to a playoff contender. I think it's going to be harder because of the teams they play in the division. You got a really good team in Minnesota that has made a move at quarterback. You got Aaron Rodgers healthy in Green Bay, and we understand now, maybe we didn't realize it before, that, boy, their talent level was pretty crap without Aaron Rodgers.
He covers up a lot of tons
of mistakes and problems, and they've changed themselves a little bit, and they're trying to get things filled in themselves. So, I think that as you look at where the Bears are at, you got to see them in the context of their division. They could make significant improvement and not make a big move in the division. And what this season will be about is setting themselves up for next year.
Putting a foundation down.
Third year of the quarterback, second year of the coach, fifth year of the general manager. There should be a really significant – if there isn't a big move, not this year, but next year. If they need to show this year that they're heading in the right direction and they need to be in the conversation – and then it's the 2020 season, is that right, that they really need to make their move. And I know that's only the second year of the head coach, but it's 5 years of the general manager, it's 3 years of the core. We should know by then. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be competing and trying to win and all that, but I would personally reduce my expectations and take it within the context of where they are at in this so-called rebuild.
That's going to be a hell of a year for Chicago because the Sox are targeting, give or take, 2020. The Bulls better be up and running by then, back in the conversation to win the conference in a couple seasons. And if the Bears are that way too, and you assume the Cubs are going to continue on.
Blackhawks should be better.
Yeah.
By then,
got to
right?
be.
Some
I mean,
of these young
they
guys.
Gotta be, gotta
they'll
be.
Have the goalie in place. They'll have the new defenseman. They'll have the new era beginning. I think the question is this. Who wins the Cubs-Sox World Series, and will it all be overshadowed by what the Bears do.
Super
by
Bowl. Winning the Super Bears, Bowl. Yeah.
That's the question you got to ask yourself. What would be bigger for the city of Chicago?
Drunk for 12 months, the entire
Chicago,
city.
Chicago? Yeah. The what?
The whole city drunk for 12 months.
Drunk for 12
months. Just Michigan Avenue shut down because there's always a parade.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. 312-644-6767. How many championships in 2020?
Give or take.
Give or take.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'm getting geared up, bro.
You should. You should.
I am getting excited.
Team's on its way, right? Do they get down there today or tomorrow for Santone for the Final Four?
I don't know.
Last practice at Gentile was yesterday, so assume they're hitting the road.
Yeah.
No.
We are fired up.
You're fired
up
about the offensive line.
You know what's fun is like all of, I don't know, if, I mean, I'm sure you're not searching Twitter to see who's congratulating the Ramblers or not, but they're getting a lot of like really kind of fun people jumping on the bandwagon a little bit. Mr. T has been texting a lot about or tweeting a lot about the Ramblers.
Chance the Rapper I get. Mr. Yeah. T weighs in.
He's from Chicago.
God bless him. All right.
And certainly we're getting a lot of support around town from various athletes. Scottie Pippen has been all over this tournament and all over the Ramblers run. It's fun to see.
Campaign's Cubs, an honorary member of the team.
The campaign worked out with them. Yeah. I haven't followed him on Twitter, so I don't know if he's congratulating them.
You think Mitchell campaign could start on Loyola?
No, he's a high school sophomore.
Wow, that's so mean.
I don't know if Porter can have contact with him. He's recruiting him during the recruiting period. Wow.
Mitchell Trubisky has been sending out various congratulatory tweets and, you know, go get 'ems type things. So that's kind of cool.
It's terrific.
It's nice to,
it tells you how much everyone's paying attention.
And Sister Jean, there's been a lot of requests for Sister Jean to do various things. I heard that a couple of NFL teams have gotten in touch with the school and looked to maybe get her to come and give them the old Newt Rockne. I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not sure if it all translates that way because, of course, the Ramblers don't have a football program.
Now, she coached basketball one time. These scouting reports aren't just, you know, someone. I mean, she actually tries to look at other teams and tell you who you have to pay attention to. I mean,
she's a 98-year-old woman. I mean,
she seems on the ball.
She seems very on the ball, but it's, you know, I mean, gosh, you you worry for her. I mean, I hope they're traveling with a nurse kind of thing.
Two of them.
Yeah, two nurses.
She's almost as old as basketball. Like the sport in
general.
When did
Dr. James Naismith hang up his peach basket?
1891. So it's close.
Well,
it's not that close.
That's pretty close in the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things.
What's a 25 or 30 year period between friends? Yeah,
what's a few decades among us?
What's a generation or two?
She's as old as the game of basketball.
Give or take 30 years.
That's crazy. But it's a wonderful story, and it's something that is needed in the landscape of college basketball. Amid the horrible cynicism of everything that is going on with going into a tournament, with all the scandal connected to the shoe company and the FBI investigation and all the players that have been mentioned and all the programs that have been mentioned and all the people that the NCAA is going to want to talk to at some point, if they can ever hire enough investigators to figure out who should be punished and who shouldn't. And, you know, as much as Sean McManus might want to hear it,
the
two number one seeds are both open to, inquiry.
And, to me, if you want an anecdote, antidote to take care of the ills of this season, the Loyola story, you couldn't have written it any better, right? I mean, why would Sean McManus say that the country wanted the Kentucky? John Calipari was downplaying his Kentucky Wildcats, the youngest team he's ever had. Not just one and done, but, you know, maturity-wise, everything, physically, everything. He lowered the expectations. Really? The Final Four is no damn good? You don't want to watch it because they took a quick exit? And the Loyola story isn't going to have legs enough to get people and eyes on the screen this weekend. I don't buy it for a second.
Yeah, and I told you, any blow against the established order is wonderful in sports. You know, any time that you can turn the tournament on its head, it's fantastic. Anytime we see a team that kind of exceeds expectations to the point where they can pull off one of the great upsets in sports, and it hasn't happened yet. We're still waiting for it. But it is not only kind of the oldest story in sports. Sports are kind of a metaphor for life. It's also deeply embedded in all of us in terms of the culture. You know, it's biblical. It's David and Goliath. It's the Joseph and the multicolored dream coat and the coat of many colors. It's Arthur. We've talked about that, King Arthur. Fairy tale stuff, Cinderella, you know. All this rags to riches idea, the whole Horatio Alger metaphors, the entire idea that you've been able to kind of come out of nowhere and do something that no one expected of you. It's a win for the everyman. It's a win for all of us, not just for one team, not for me, but for you, Brian, and for all of us.
Will Donny Osmond be wearing that Technicolor dream coat? Didn't he have run?
He was one of the guys that did it. Yeah. He was.
I never saw that play.
Did you ever read Great Expectations?
Yes, long time
ago. There's an element of that to it, right? I mean, it's just kind of this amazing story that, again, there's a reason we tell these stories. There's a reason that we believe that something incredible can happen, something outside the limits of the norm. Yeah. No. And I think
that's why they play the games, Molly.
That's exactly right, Brian. And
I had money on Goliath.
For all of us that feel like the odds are stacked against us, right? I mean, who wouldn't have money on Goliath? For all of us that
I'm
felt
a contrarian, I probably would have had
that
it on
have
David.
Felt over the years that maybe you know, this is a small victory for everyone. So if the Ramblers can keep going and get to a national championship game, they're one game away from that. And I know how good Michigan is. And I know how good. I don't know. They're stepping up in class, and the stage is so big. And I get it.
Michigan won the Big Ten tournament. I get that. But if you looked at Purdue and certainly Michigan State, and maybe because of the off-court stuff, and there was another chapter added to the Michigan State story.
Dirty, nasty, horrible story.
You talk about, but if you just looked at the basketball talent, Michigan probably would have been third choice to make it to the Final Four. The four teams, everyone bemoaned the fact only four Big Ten teams got to the end of the tournament, and Ohio State was, you know, if you look, Michigan State, Purdue, maybe Michigan, then Ohio State, but Michigan's still standing.
Yeah, they're a great story, and this is the guy's best defensive team, Bayline, and this is a team that can get real hot and can make big shots, and I'm sure every team left in this tournament feels like they're a team of destiny.
Yep.
But I'm just telling you, I really believe this, Joe, that
yes,
upsets are a part of sports, and nowhere do you see that more than in a sport like the NCAA tournament, a sport that is geared for upsets.
Are you calling it?
I'm calling the upset, buddy.
Are you?
I'm calling it.
You're going against your brother?
I'm not calling it for me. He's got the Ramblers winning the thing.
Yeah, I forgot.
Did he do anything on this?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He's got to. He's got a hedge. And I told him, go ahead and hedge. Don't worry about me. But I'm saying that this victory is for all of us. This predicted victory. It's not because I want my team to win. It's because I want us all to win.
They've already won.
I don't want to feel like the fates have given me a personal favor. I want to feel like all of us have been taken care of by the basketball gods, that somebody somewhere has said, you know what, I'm throwing you a bone. The man doesn't have you today. You're broken clean of his grasp, and you're breaking out, and the spirit within is flying through the air to victory.
Boy, it's getting deep in here.
I'm sorry. But it's for everyone. It's for all of us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, thank you. Joe, are they ruining the game? Are they ruining the NFL, the sport of football, professional football, the win-at-all-costs, the take-no-prisoners NFL? Are they ruining the sport? Have the owners gotten together and decided, you know what, we don't want any major lawsuits, let's ruin the sport? We'll ask that question of Brad Biggs next. Biggs time on the Mully and Hanley Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He's our man in Orlando, Mr. NFL Owners Meetings. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I got to ask you, you know, you look at the new catch rule, if that's that was supposed to be controversial, but this helmet collision thing ends up being kind of the news of the day, and it ends up being maybe the news of the owners' meetings. Did you see this one coming, and how impactful will it be?
No, did not see it coming. There wasn't a lot of talk about it beforehand. You like the idea of anything to reduce helmet shots in the NFL. I think everybody's in favor of that. It will be curious to see how they deploy this, what type of basically instructional video the league puts together showing players, and I think you need to show your fans as well, you know, these six examples are legal hits. These six examples are illegal hits, and you know, hope that it can be enforced where you don't have a lot of controversy. That's going to be, I believe, a big challenge for the league, for the officials, and for the replay people when they're involved as well.
Yeah. How do you handle this in short yardage? Seriously. You know, you got a fullback come in and he's lowering his head. Is that?
Because they said the offense.
Jordan Howard has to change the way he runs.
Yeah, offensive player can get penalized for the leading with the helmet too.
Right, right, and that's you know, that's the tricky one. I think some of the biggest helmet to helmet hits you see is when the running back's going through the hole and the safety's attempting to fill that hole, and you can see both the offensive and defensive player in those positions with their heads lowered. Could you end up with plays where you've got a double penalty? I don't know. I think we need to let's see what type of examples they can lay out for this is a clean play and this is a play that is not clean, because like with a lot of other things in a game that moves so fast, I think there's going to be some gray area.
You know, the Bears, you know, when you listen to Matt Nagy talk, and you talked to us right after the breakfast yesterday and said he talked about being aggressive and being smart about it, but 7% of their passes went for 20 or more yards last year, almost at the bottom of the NFL, tied for 31st. Can you put a percentage? I know he wouldn't. He said you have to be smart about it and see situations. But the idea that guys can't sit in that 10 to 15 yard range and expect the passing game to the majority of the Bears passing game to be in that area is a great thing to hear. But, you know, is it 25%? How much more will they go downfield from what they...
You know, I don't know about putting a number on it, but I can tell you that they've got personnel that's capable of pulling it off now. And that was one of the stumbling blocks a year ago, is they didn't have guys that were probably real good at going downfield and doing that. So they've upgraded the personnel. In terms of a number, I wouldn't even venture a guess, and certainly that's going to vary from week to week and be very dependent upon game situation. But I think it's kind of an attitude. The other thing you talked a lot about yesterday was matchups and finding matchups and using personnel to create matchups for, you know, the tight end on a smaller nickel cornerback, or for a wide receiver on a bigger cornerback who might be able to run quite as well. And he talked about putting in the offense, and he said, you know, it takes time. You got to put in the base stuff, the very basic parts of the play, before they add motion and shifts and things of that nature to each play and kind of create the window dressing that will make a lot of these plays look alike and hopefully give them an ability to score a lot more points, because that's been the biggest issue for this team for a while now, is they simply don't score enough.
Do you believe they have enough weapons to change that?
Yeah, I think they've got enough to make a big, big step in the right direction. I mean, if Allen Robinson is the player he was
right
a couple of years ago when he had a 1,400-yard season, you bet I do. There's some question marks, and there's going to be some question marks for just about any team, but I think they're poised to make a significant step forward.
Yeah, how will that translate in the division?
Well, that's a great question, and because I know the Vikings feel like they've gotten better. The Packers have got some questions at cornerback. I think it's probably fair to say that, but they've made some moves that they feel has gotten them better, and their quarterbacks will hopefully be healthy for an entire season. And then Detroit, I think, feels pretty good about having a GM paired up with a coach he knows well, and a coach that had an awful lot of success in Detroit, and Matt Patricia. So this is a challenging division. It really is. And you could – there's probably maybe one division in the league with better quarterback play. You might be able to put together a case for the NFC North, though. I think what the knock on it is, Rodgers is the only guy that's really had a lot of postseason success. But the Bears have got their work cut out for them. There's certainly less competitive divisions out there.
How did you read Nagy's response to the offensive line question? He talked about looking at the film and seeing that they were more athletic than he thought and quick on their feet, but wouldn't talk about individuals. And was that a way of just putting a positive spin on something he's not sure about right now?
I think they feel pretty good about the offensive line. Do they think they have the best line in football? No, but I don't think anybody's sold the Bears line is that. They dealt with some injuries a year ago. They've got a question mark at left guard right now, but Nagy knows Eric Kush from Kansas City. And here's one thing to consider with Kush. The Bears feel like when Kush was on the field in 2016 for them, that was the best that they ran the football that season. Now, the sample size isn't real big, okay? He played in 8 games. He had 4 starts that season. But they feel pretty good about him. Does that mean they're not considering Quentin Nelson? I wouldn't say that at all. But they feel like they've got some options. And, I think with Harry Heistand in place as the offensive line coach, they're going to be okay up front. And I know that Nagy's really fired up about having Harry direct that unit for him.
And I got a lot of respect for Harry, and I understand how good Quentin Nelson is. I told you, I was told by a guy that, you're talking Hall of Famer. That's great. I just wonder, has the conversation gone from should they draft a guard to should they move up in the draft for a guard? I see a lot of these mock drafts that are kind of picking them to do that. That seems, I got on board with the go up for the guard, but now the idea of trading giving away.
Boy, I don't know,
man.
I don't know.
That's a little bit of an ask. Yeah.
I haven't seen that, to be honest with you. I've seen people talking about them trading up, involving some other players. At some point, they've got to get out of the trading up business.
Yep.
Roll with what they've got. It's going to be if they're trading up, it's because there's not nearly as many quarterbacks that are going to go as some people think. Everyone's kind of infatuated with this idea 4 quarterbacks could go in the top 7 picks. What if only 2 go? Then what? And I think that's a possibility also. The number might be more likely to be 3, but I think people that are dead set on 4 quarterbacks going in the top 7 picks are probably – that's probably more wishful thinking than it is, real analysis.
When, talking about personnel and when Nagy was talking about it, did I hear right? Did it sound like the Adam Shaheen isn't necessarily going to get a a big prime role in this offense, and even the Tariq Cohen answer was like, oh yeah, sure, we'll do some things with him.
Shaheen had a game.
I think they got plenty of stuff they can do with Tariq Cohen. I mean, let's he's still a Joker back, okay?
Yeah,
he's not going to be, you know. So how much more are you going to do with him? I think you know what they need to do with Tariq Cohen, and I think the experience he had last year will help him out a little bit. Is they need to. He was boom or bust last year. He had some really big plays, but then there were an inordinate number of plays that went for like 1 yard or no gain. And so they need to dramatically reduce those plays, and then he'll be a lot more effective player. Shaheen, yeah, he's going to have a role. I asked if Shaheen and Deion Sims, the $6 million man, you guys thought it was, Steve Austin, right?
Yeah, or, there you go. Nicely played,
If they were sort of redundant and he, you know, quickly poo-pooed that and talked about the number of times they'd be in one back, three tight ends, one wide receiver, I don't know that they're going to be in that a ton, but hey, maybe I'm wrong. So we'll see. Shaheen, needs to get better as a route runner a little bit. He doesn't have great he's got some straight line speed. He doesn't have that lateral movement, that quickness. He's never going to possess that. So we'll see. Hopefully he can take a jump moving into year two. They did feel pretty good about the way he run blocked a year ago.
All righty, Big Z. Always a joy to catch up with you, and it's always a joy to hear their plans and what they're thinking. And it's, you know, we were talking about just the difference between listening to John Fox news conference and hearing what Matt Nagy had to say. It's just
good to have someone
kind
of normal and not talking down to you or not talking around you, just actually talking football with you.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good 60 minutes or so with Nagy. And then he gets to deliver that message to the players on Tuesday, guys. That's when the voluntary off-season program will start at House Hall, and they'll have those guys collected for the first time. It would be my guess that the vast majority of players would choose to volunteer for that.
All right, Brad. Thank you, bud.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Take care, Brad.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, from the Chicago Tribune. They're fine football man. Thoughts?
Well, hopefully they get out of Orlando without any more
rule changes?
Yeah, revolutionary rule changes no one saw coming. I mean, everyone's on board with the catch thing, at least trying to clean. No, but this whole the helmet thing,
It's interesting. What's interesting about it is we didn't hear a lot of discussion of
not
it.
Not a peep.
Then it just showed up.
Unanimous.
And,
there you go.
It has to be, because I think it really has more to do with
those billion-dollar checks they were cutting.
The lawsuits and the future of the game than it does whether or not you want to see it. All right, we're going to shift gears. We'll bring in Ozzie Guillen. Baseball season begins this week. We'll talk to our baseball expert about everything he's seeing and the teams that are going to be hot, and what does he make of both the Cubs and the White Sox. Mully and Hanley on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.